What reason do I have to wake up with the rising sun and not be held down by the weight of all the things I've done? What reason do I have to feel this hope instead of hurt? How can it be I don't receive the judgment I deserve? Wave upon wave of grace.
Good morning. It's so good to look out over the congregation and see so many of you here this morning. We just ask God's blessings on you. And I want you just turn to the person next to you and say to them, I'm glad that you're here. And we pray that our time together will be one in which God will truly lift us up before Him and bless us. I see that we have some guests and some visitors, and we're always delighted to have you. Hope that you can come back and be with us at other times as well. We're going to continue with our sermon series, Connecting with God. And today we're in our fifth week of this series, and this is messages that I've been giving on the Lord's Prayer. Today's message is part five, the prayer of cleansing. Now, some of you know, and perhaps others of you do not know, that I finished building a blacksmith shop back in the spring of this year. However, several weeks ago, when I fired up the coal forge, I could not get the air to flow from the blower to the fire pot. And so I checked out things. I looked at the fire pot. I looked at the pipe feeding it from the blower. I looked at the blower, and I looked at all the necessary connections, but I couldn't figure it out. And just looking, I couldn't see anything that was wrong with it. But I would crank, and there would be no air flowing. And so I was stumped at what was hindering it from working. Why wouldn't it work? So I decided the only thing choice I have is to tear it apart. So I got underneath the forge, and I disassembled the clinker rod, and I removed the fire brick from off the top of it, and I took out down to the fire pot, and I disassembled it and took it out, and I disassembled all of the supporting ironwork underneath that held the fire pot and the brick, and finally I got down to where I could see, and I discovered what the problem was. It was just a little thing. Well, if you call it that, it was a tiny mouse that had gotten inside of the air pipe and had built a nest. And so that had entangled and obstructed the airflow. And that was the problem. There was a blockage. No air could get from the blower to the fire pot. And that was a huge problem, even though it was a little thing that had happened. And this week I got to thinking, that's a lot like life. Sometimes small things get entangled and get balled up inside of us and can stop us from being what God created us to be and can stop us from working properly. However, we often, when we try to fix the problem of not being what God wants us to be and not living the way that we should, often we're looking on the outside of what's caused this problem, when really it's on the inside. And that's why we don't live the way we should and don't function right. It's because the problem is on the inside. Now, let me ask you this morning, what might be inside of you that's hindering you from being what God wants you to be this morning? From hindering you to live the way God created you to live? What keeps you away from God? What keeps you away from doing what God would have you to do? What's holding you back? A lot of times, we blame the external. Oh, it's the pandemic. What a terrible year we've gone through, and all the changes and things like that. That's why I'm the way I am and why I do what I do. Or we blame our work, and it's the bosses and the people we work with. Or it's my relationship, my wife or my husband, I just can't get along with them, or whatever that relationship might be. Or if we say, well, we just don't have enough money to do the things that we need to do, and so on and so on. It's these things out here that we blame for what is the reason we are the way we are. But the truth is, what holds you back from being what God wants you to be is almost never external. It's always internal. The things that hold you back, keep you from being what God wants you to be, is inside you. Something gets entangled and blocked up inside of you. Now, what that is, what gets inside you, what gets entangled, what hinders you, might surprise you. Maybe. Maybe not. But the Bible tells us that what holds us back from being what God wants us to be, what holds us back more than anything else, is guilt. Sometimes unconscious guilt about unconfessed sin. When we have things that we have done wrong, things that we do wrong, things that is sinful in our life, and we don't confess it and don't confront it, it stops the relationship that we need to have with God. It blocks that from happening. When you hold on to hurts inside of you and habits and hang-ups and regrets and shame and guilt, it does a number on you. It keeps you from being what God wants you to be and living the way God wants you to be, because you weren't made for that. You weren't made to live in sin. You weren't made to hold that guilt inside of you. You weren't wired for that. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, in other words, anything that holds us back, anything that prevents God's blessings to be in our lives, let's get rid of that. Let's remove everything that would hinder us from being free to live before God. And let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. Like in my forge, it's that little nest. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Did you know that when God made you, He had a plan for your life? Did you know that? It's already been marked out. God has a purpose and a plan for your life that is unique, just for you. And it's for nobody else, and they cannot fulfill that plan, or they cannot fulfill that purpose. Only you can, for what God would have you to do in your life. And the problem is, everybody else has a plan for your life too. Maybe your mom wants you to follow her plan. Or maybe your dad wants you to follow his plan. Or maybe your spouse or somebody else influential in your life, they have a plan for you too. And God says no to that. No. I didn't make you to fulfill somebody else's plan for your life. I put you on this planet to follow the plan that I marked out for you. Now, the sad thing is most people don't know what that plan is. They don't know the plan that God has for them. They get sidetracked. They get entangled and blocked. Instead of living upright before God and obeying Him and listening to His voice and listening to His direction, they get all entangled and blocked. And then they give up following God. They give up being obedient to Him. They give up knowing that He has a plan and a path for them to walk. Few people in life follow the plan that God actually marks out for them, and they end up living something else. They end up living something less than what God created them and wanted them to live. And the fact is, God says we need to throw off the things that hinder us from being what God wanted us to be, to throw off the sin that entangles us and blocks us. And that which hinders us is when we sin. Instead of getting that corrected, instead of coming back to God and being back on the path He wants us to, we have within us this unconscious guilt and unresolved sin. The fact is, none of us is faultless. I would love to say that there's somebody in here this morning that could say that I've never sinned. I'm not following the path that you're following. I wished I could say that, but it's far from true. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We all blow it. We all sin. And we all know it. We know we do that. But what happens as a result of when we fall and when we fail, when we sin, when we make mistakes, what happens then? Well, we end up with regrets about it. We end up regretting that we ever did that. Have you ever done that? Oh, how many nights have I cried and been on my knees and said, God, I just wish you could take me back to this earlier time in my life so that I wouldn't have to go there and experience that. But that's not something possible. I can't go back and undo the past. But what I can do is I can throw off the shame and the guilt and the regrets because God has made that possible to happen. It is the guilt that entangles us. It is the regret that keeps us stuck. And it keeps us stuck in our past. We can't get on with life because we keep thinking about what we did. And as long as you do that, and as long as you never confront that, and you never resolve that, and you never get that fixed, then you will be entangled in a problem that just weighs you down, burdens you down. And like my forge, it won't work anymore if that blockage is there. And your life won't work the way it's supposed to, as long as that's entangled there in your life. A lot of times we know we're guilty, but we try to deal with that guilt in ways that don't work. We deny it. You know, we blame other people for things that happen to us instead of realizing it's our fault. We excuse it. We say, well, it doesn't matter. It didn't really hurt anybody that much. We rationalize it. You know, when you rationalize anything you know that's wrong, what you're trying to do is to convince your mind what your heart says is wrong. This is the problem with politics, and I'm not going to go there, but I am going to say this. That when people know something is wrong and they try to rationalize it and make it sound like it's okay, what a terrible, terrible thing and a place to be. Can't trust people when they come to that place if they can't be honest and sincere and confess their own sin. Rationalization is a battle between your heart and your head. And you're trying to tell yourself it's okay, when everything in your body says it's not okay. And it says it's wrong. It says I feel bad about it. I feel guilty about it. The truth is, God doesn't want you walking around with this kind of guilt. A lot of people think God wants us to feel guilty all the time. You know, It's like God says, well, I want you to see what a terrible person you are. I want to see what a terrible thing you did. God is not wanting that for you. God is wanting for us to come and to say, yes, I failed. Yes, I sinned. Yes, I made a mistake. And Lord, Only you can forgive me. Only you can remove that. Only you can make it right. And that is what I want. God doesn't want you to feel guilty. Guilt can make you physically sick. And it does to a lot of people. Because you weren't created to carry around guilt in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:28, it says, "You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sin. Confess them and give them up, and then God will show you mercy." You see, this is a prayer. Is not to hide your sin, but to confess them so that God can forgive you. That's the prayer of cleansing. And that is, forgive us our sins. In Matthew 6:12. That is what I'm talking about today. We need to connect to God through the prayer of cleansing by asking God to forgive us for the sin that might be entangled within us, that's unconfessed. When you understand the prayer of cleansing and you practice it, it opens the door for your life. It opens the door of freedom. It's a life for a clear conscience. It's a life of no longer carrying around that burden of guilt. It's a life of joy where you can stand before God even though you know you've made mistakes and you know you've sinned. You can be forgiven. A life of blessing and a life that God can use you in the way that He created you. I want you to experience that in your life, and you can. You have no idea how much God wants to use your life. And a lot of times we don't let God use it because we say, well, you know, we're just not good enough for that. Well, yes, you are, because God can make you that way. You have no idea how much God wants to bless your life. The things He could do in your life would astound you if your life was a clean vessel. By confessing that sin and asking God to forgive you and receiving His forgiveness. The things that God could do in your life would astound you. But you've got to do something about it. You can't just hear me. You can't just read the scripture and acknowledge that that's true. There's got to be more than just hearing what I'm saying and you shaking your head and saying, yeah, that's right. You've got to do business with God. It's not a hearer of the word. It's being a doer of the word. You've got to pray the prayer of cleansing. Forgive us our sins, our debts, our transgressions. And you got to mean it. You got to say, that's really what I want. I want God to forgive me. And you got to be specific about what it is that you're asking God to forgive you. And I want to give you now, very simply, very quickly, the 6 steps to that path of forgiveness, of having a clear conscience. There's no reason that anybody here this morning should have to leave with any guilt in your life. Whatever guilt you're carrying today, or whatever guilt you've been carrying for weeks or months or years, you need to deal with that now. You need to get that blockage out. You need to let the Spirit flow again in your life. You need to do what God asked you to do. And then you can go out with a clear conscience and be guilt-free. And how do you do that? Here's the 6 steps, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. Number 1 is I review every area of my life. And that's the first step. You could call that making a personal moral inventory. You sit down with God in a quiet place, quiet space, when you're not hurried. And you make a list of everything that's between you and someone else. Something that's wrong in your life that you feel guilty about toward others. Consciously or unconsciously,
The Bible says in Lamentations 3, let us test and examine our ways. You ask God to reveal your sin. And it's kind of interesting when you do this, God will do that. God will bring back to your mind because they're there. Whether you think they are or not, unconsciously, God will bring to your mind the sins that we have tried to bury. This is a prayer saying, God, turn your spotlight on my inner life. Find in me the stuff that entangles me, that hinders me, that's holding me back. That's step one. I review every area of my life. And once you've done that, then you do step two, and here's the second step. I repent of every sin that God reveals to me that is wrong in my life. First, I review that area, then I repent of it. What does it mean to repent? It means three things. First, it is I take responsibility for my sin. I'm not blaming anybody else for this. I'm not saying this happened because of this, the them, or that. I take responsibility. Sin that is in my life is because of what I have done. The second thing is I turn away from those things. I say, Lord, I know those are wrong. That is not what is right according to your will and your way. And I'm going to turn away from that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And the third thing is I turn toward God and His grace. And I say, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I take responsibility, I turn away, and I turn to you and your ways. And that's what it means to repent. The Bible says also in Lamentations 3, it says, let us turn again in repentance to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled. So you write it down. You accept responsibility. And what I'm saying is, listen very closely to this now. The greatest holdup to the healing of your hang-up is you. You're not waiting on God to do something. You're not waiting on anybody else to come to you and do something. The hang-up in your life, the greatest hang-up, the holdup, is you. God wants to heal you. So review every area of your life and ask God to reveal to you where that sin is. Repent of those sins that are there, every one of them. And here's the third step. I resolve to make restitution. And so you go through that list and you find somebody that you have hurt, and then you go to them and you make restitution. Now, you might have said, if you've hated them, if you've hurt them, if you've mistreated them, if you've cheated on them, if possible, you go to them and make restitution. Matthew and Luke 19 says, if I have Matthew was saying this, and it's recorded in Luke 19. It says, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back. Four times the amount of what I cheated him on. And Jesus said to him, because of that, today salvation has come to your house. Sometimes it's not possible to make restitution. Maybe the person has died that you had this harm to, that they may have moved away, or you maybe can't find them. So in some instances, you can't make restitution, but anything that you can, you should. And so here's the fourth step. I receive God's forgiveness. Now, once I've reviewed every area of my life, and I've repented of every sin, and I've accepted responsibility, and I've resolved to make restitution where I need to, now I'm ready to receive God's forgiveness. And the Bible says, and by the way, you don't have to be hesitant or shy about coming to God and asking forgiveness. You don't have to come and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I know you don't want me to come. I know how ugly and awful I must be because of what I've done. No, God doesn't want that. He wants us to come boldly before Him and say, Lord, I have sinned, and I come to You because I need Your forgiveness. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we are in need. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace before God. He's a gracious God, and He wants us to come. He's not going to scold us. He's not going to punish us. He's not going to reject us. He's just going to open His arms wide and says, please come to Me, because I can make this all better. And when we come to God with our sin, we receive His mercy and we find His grace. What's the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy is forgiveness for all the things that you've done in the past. And grace is the power to change in the future so that we are all that God wants us to be. And you need both of those. You need mercy and God's forgiveness, and you need His grace. Let me tell you how not to get God's forgiveness. You don't beg God. You don't bribe God and say, well, I won't do this anymore. You just accept what God has given you in His Son, Jesus Christ. You just believe. Your forgiveness is not based on who you are, as if you somehow are deserving it. It's based on God's character and His mercy and grace and forgiveness. If we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable to accept us. He forgives our sins and makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. God says, come to Me and I'll clean you up. And so now we come to step five. And step five is the most difficult one. And this shows how sincere your heart really is. This shows how much you really want forgiveness. This is a test of spiritual maturity. You reveal your faults to someone else. You say, I know you're saying, come on, Jerry. Can't I just come to God? Can't I just be forgiven? And if I confess it to God, why would I have to tell anyone else about it? Well, of course you can be forgiven that way. But here's the question. You need to ask yourself, do I want to be emotionally healed, or just do I want to be forgiven in secret? The way God wired us is that we need other people in our lives for healing. God wired us that we only get well when we come together with each other in community. The Bible says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So we're to confess and we're to pray for each other. That's something we do together so that we may be healed. So revealing your feelings to someone else is often the beginning of healing. So let me ask you again. Do you want to just be forgiven, or do you want the wholeness, the shalom, the emotional healing that God wants you to have? Then we need to confess with one another. And then we find relief. Now there's only one other step. First, I review every area of my life and ask God to reveal to me the sin that is in my life. Second, I repent of those sins. Third, I own up to them and I take responsibility. Fourth, I resolve to make restitution where I can. And fifth, I receive God's forgiveness because He wants to give it to me. And He's waiting for that. I reveal my faults so that I can be emotionally healed. And here's number six. I repeat those steps regularly. I do them over and over. In other words, this is not a one-step process. In other words, if you were to do this morning and say, well, I've done it for the rest of my life, no more, that's not the point. The point is, this is something you need to repeat the other steps regularly. Friends, God wants to bless your life.
God wants to use your life. He wants to bless you, and He wants to make you a blessing to other people. And you say, Jerry, if you knew what I've done in my life, do you think God could use me? Oh, yes, He can. And I know He can, because if God can use me, I know that God can use you. God uses every kind of vessel. He can use a small vessel, which I feel in myself that what I am. And I thank God for allowing me to do what I do. He can use plain vessels, and He can use ordinary vessels. He can use shy vessels. He even uses broken vessels, which is me. But the only thing God will not use and cannot use, God will not use a dirty vessel. And that's the test. Are you willing to do what God tells you so that He can cleanse you? Are you willing to do it today? Are you willing to be honest to God that we all have fallen short of His glory, and honest enough to say, God, I need to do something about that because I'm broken. There's something not working with me in my relationship with You, in my spirituality. And so in the scripture it says in Hebrews, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are doing, but let us encourage one another. You see, we're all in the same boat. We all need forgiveness. We all need cleansing. And God wants to cleanse us and bless us. God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to come home. God calls us to come home. God wants us to be connected to Him in the way that He wants us to be, so that we can get connected to each other through this church. Here's my question to you this morning. God has offered us forgiveness. And I want to offer that to us as well through Jesus Christ. And so I asked, would you come this morning if that is a need in your life? I pray that you would want to do that. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. We all are sinners. We all have failed. And Lord, I'm tired of carrying around the guilt and regrets and the shame around all the time. I need to let it go. I need to receive Your gift of mercy for my past and grace for my future. So God, right now, I'm going to do a personal moral inventory of my life and commit to confessing anything You help me remember. I want to be clean. I want to be pure on the inside so that You can bless me and so that You can use me to bless other people. Oh God, I want a fresh start and I want a clean conscience. Jesus Christ, come into my life and clean out my heart. I come to You just as I am, and I surrender You. And I pray this prayer in Your name. Amen.
arms praise God just as I am. Just as